ready, Minnie?
I am.
Okay. I'd like to, item number nine, we have item number nine and number 10 we'll deal with concurrently. If you can read them into the record, Madam Clerk.
Item number nine is an application to rezone the closed Ravelston Avenue right-of-way to a C2 commercial district from a C3 commercial district at 280 Almy Avenue under file DAZ 213 of 2008. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item 10 being an application to amend the zoning agreement to delete Cabaret and Cocktail Lounge from the list of prohibited uses at 280 Almay Avenue under file ZAA 7 of 2008.
Okay, we have, I understand that the applicants wish to appear together here. Mr. Gordon Howard and your, I guess your company here, Paul McNeil, you wish to appear together?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Please come.
The second item in particular, the first item is less critical.
Well, we're dealing with them concurrently, Paul, so we'll be able to hear them both at the same time. So just pull yourself another chair. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Thanks. If you can both state your name and address for the record, and welcome. Thanks for your patience tonight.
Thank you. My name is Paul McNeil. I'm with the MMM Group, Suite 111, 93 Lombard Avenue.
Okay.
Gordon Howard, 167 Waverly Street.
Okay. Welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the first item, which is the rezoning, if you recall with this application, there's a short portion of Ravelston that has been closed. And as a result, when that happens, is the zoning on opposite sides of the street, close to the center point of the street, and it takes on the zoning of the adjacent lands. Now, the lands that our client owns are zone C2. The lands to the south where the self-storage warehouse is are zone C3. The owners of the storage warehouse lands had declined to purchase half of the right-of-way, so our client purchased the whole right-of-way. But as a result, the right-of-way that they purchased was zoned partially C2 and partially C3. So, in fact, the first part of this application is as much a housekeeping item to clean that up so that the site doesn't have a mixture of zoning, and C2 is consistent with the intended use of this site.
Okay. I don't have any questions about that. I assume it's straightforward. And the other item?
The other item is a request to amend the zoning agreement. And as you, again, may recall, is that under the current zoning agreement, cabarets and cocktail lounges are prohibited uses, along with a number of others. We are very fortunate, I think, to have an excellent application to come forward to use the lands. As Mr. Howard will speak in a minute, he represents the Keg franchises here in Winnipeg, and the Keg has several other restaurants in the city. I'm going to distribute some photographs in a minute that illustrate the quality of the restaurant that we're talking about. But part of the reason that we are requesting the zoning agreement amendment is that restaurants of a certain quality, high-end quality, and high-caliber restaurants such as the Keg typically have outdoor patios and lounges associated with them. That's quite common in the city, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with restaurants of that nature. And in this particular case, we are asking that the zoning agreement be amended to allow for the Keg to develop a use which would include the outdoor patio and lounge as part of their use on the site. And so that's what the application is before you this evening. What I have to help illustrate that in terms of understanding the quality of the use on the site.
Lil, did you turn off the air again?
I didn't turn off the air. It had been turned down again. It says on it, do not
touch.
Turn it below 20.
The air is back. I just kicked on as I said it.
Someone
just
keeps turning it down to 19. Which
I keep asking the clerk to turn it down. And you keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Councillor Thomas. Sorry about that. Sorry, we got to make sure everybody's comfortable here. Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
What I've distributed are some photographs of the two most recent Keg Steakhouse and Bars that have been developed in the city of Winnipeg, the one on Portage Avenue near Moray, and the one on McGilvery Boulevard near Linden Woods. These are both very high-quality, architecturally designed restaurants. They're very well managed. I think the Keg is one of the highest reputations in the city for the quality and the management of their sites. And in my opinion, I believe that this use, combined with the Steinbeck Credit Union to the north of Alma, in fact, are tremendous assets to the neighborhood and to the Transcona community as a whole. As you also may recall, there are other restrictions on the site that were put in place when we went through the original rezoning to help protect the residential neighborhood. That includes limiting access off Ravelstone so that there'd be no access at all onto Ravelstone to the east of this area. It includes a berm and a fence area that in total are 11 feet in height. Just to help you visualize what that is, the wall behind you is probably 8 feet in height. So the total berm and wall fence adjacent to this, separating this site from the residence, is another 3 feet higher than that, which is a tremendous buffer. If you've been to the site where the Steinbeck Credit Union is, they have also developed a very high quality fence along that that I think, again, speaks very well to the site. And so very briefly, Mr. Chairman, and Gord may have some more to add with respect to his restaurant, I think that the request that we're making here will in fact be beneficial to the community as a whole in the long run, and that this would be an excellent development of the site and a real asset for the whole community.
Okay. Mr. Howard?
Sir,
do you wish to add anything at this point? Or was there anything else, Mr. McNeil, that you had? Or?
No, I think there may be some questions, and we'll respond to the questions as they arise.
Okay.
I have a question.
Oh, okay. Councillor Thomas has a question. Before you start, Mr. Howard.
Yeah. Can you explain to me, the cakes that I have been to aren't cabarets. They're basically restaurants that are licensed.
I think the
is it the nature of our amalgamated zoning, or why are you going for a cabaret, which to me means, you know, singing and dancing open till 3 in the morning and, you know, stand-up comedians and stuff like that?
Isn't that the requirement under lounge? Is that what the basically
I think it's really in terms of how it's defined in the bylaw. It's not that we're asking for a cabaret. That's what the...
Could you explain?
Yeah, well, it's more has to do with Manitoba Liquor Control Commission. Before, we used to define each under our old bylaw. Under the new one, we just call it drinking establishments. But for the MLCC, they have categories of licensed dining room, cocktail lounge, and cabaret. And cabaret is exactly what you would describe as. I think it has to do with more of a mixture of how much alcohol and food sales, etc., that you can add cabaret so you can serve, I think, a little bit more liquor. It would allow them, but we don't we just call it a drinking establishment now. We don't differentiate.
So that's our problem. When we did the amalgamated zoning bylaws, that there's a few catches in there with regard to.
Yeah, we just call them now drinking establishments, whether it's a licensed dining room or a cocktail lounge. We, under the zoning bylaw, we don't necessarily.
It's not that this place is going to be open till 3 in the morning and they're going to be people spilling out in the street singing show tunes as they go from something that they've heard inside. They've come there to have their dinner and a couple of drinks.
Yeah, if anything, it's more
advantageous. There's going to be no ladies dancing on the table either.
Yeah, so, thanks.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, there is one item that I neglected to mention, and that is that we did invite the community to an open house that we conducted. We distributed about 60 invitations to residents on the street. We had 8 people to come to the open house. We had a number of boards that indicated what it is that we were asking for, and we were concerned about the wording as well, because the wording on the variance or the sign on the site says to establish a drinking establishment, and the wording does not really convey the intent or what's being proposed in this particular case.
What it is a licensed restaurant, basically.
That's correct.
Okay. And cocktail lunch
is part of it.
Yeah.
But that's, if you've been to any number of restaurants of a similar caliber.
Not unlike the restaurant that's just a little bit to the south from the same.
Moxie's,
Pony Corral, Brannigan's in Kildonan Place has the same licensing.
Yeah, there's a couple of restaurants just further to the south.
Olive Garden.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't want to mention the name of competitors, you know, so that's why I said not unlike a restaurant that's just a little further to the south.
Mr. Howard.
Yes, sir. My company is the franchisee for Keg Steakhouse and Bar in Winnipeg. The Keg was established in Winnipeg in 1975. I currently operate three restaurants in Winnipeg, and I believe that we coexist well and actually add value to the neighborhoods in which we operate. I guess that's my opening statement. I'm certainly prepared to answer any other questions you may have about the business today.
Okay.
Or our intent for this development.
All right. I don't have any questions right now. I'd like to hear what others have to say, and then maybe afterwards I have some questions. Oh, Councilor Wadi has a quick question. Sure. Okay.
Just with your McGilvery location, which I guess is your newest one, were there initially concerns from the immediate neighbors?
There were concerns.
And were those appeased once the establishment actually opened?
Before.
Have there been concerns since the opening of that?
There have been no concerns.
Right. Thank you.
And if I may, perhaps even more importantly, in terms of proximity to homes, I believe the city's iView pegged the nearest home to the McGilvery restaurant at 412 feet. iView pegged the nearest home to the Portage and Moray restaurant on Ainslie Street, which is immediately east of the restaurant. The nearest home there is 75 feet. And we've never had any difficulty complaints that I'm aware of.
What would this be approximately?
You're saying 412 feet. It was.
I thought 412 was McGilvery.
412 was McGilvery.
Oh, McGilvery. Okay.
Yes. What would this be?
I'm referring to the current ones that we have operating.
If this were to be constructed, do you have an approximate estimation as to how far the nearest?
Not as of yet. Not as of yet. This is also a preliminary site plan.
Sure.
Or the one that we refer to as.
At a minimum, Councillor, there is the front back setbacks across the street on the east side of Ravelston, plus the street right away. We'll put that at about 85 feet, and we have a minimum of a 15-foot east side yard. So at the very closest, if the building was pushed as far to the east as we could on the side, it would be a 100-foot separation minimum, and likely much more than that.
And would there be a berm in that?
Yes, the berm's included within that and the fencing as well.
All right.
I do have... photograph. I didn't bring multiple copies of it, but we do have a photograph. I think Councillor Wyatt is familiar with the fence that is being constructed by Steinbeck Credit Union, and I'll distribute this as well because I think it speaks to the quality of the development. But I apologize, I didn't bring multiple copies. If I could. As well. That is the quality of the fence that's built on top of the berm for the Steinbeck Credit Union, and that quality being extended as part of this development.
Do you have any site plans for this site right now with you?
Very preliminary.
Are you prepared to share them with us at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
Do that.
favorite one out of seven.
Okay. All right. We'd like to see them. I guess it often helps us make decisions. I'm quite curious in seeing exactly, you know, where do you have the cocktail lounge located? Specifically, I see a patio in your other designs. Where is the patio going? I'm also curious with regards to garbage. I noticed your site. I went out and had a drive and looked at your site at McGilvery. You have a completely enclosed garbage facility there. You roll the garbage out on garbage day, you bring it back in. So I'm interested in seeing that. I saw the landscaping as well at McGilvery, but would you have that information right now? Or?
What we have, Mr. Chairman, is a preliminary site plan that was also shared with the residents when we had the open house.
Okay.
As Gord has indicated, this is preliminary and there are various alternatives being developed. What may be helpful for you to understand with respect to the outdoor patio is the orientation of the patio. In this particular layout, the patio is orientated southwest. That is facing away from the residential area and...
towards Lajimodi.
Towards Lajimodi or towards the downtown. You'll see it on the site plan.
Okay.
That isn't accidental in terms of patio locations that... Gord, may reiterate, that's in fact a preferred location. In fact, you have the option of locating your patio because you tend to like the afternoon sun and the evening sun rather than being on the north side of the building. In this case, that works well for us and the residents because the ideal orientation is for the restaurant is also ideal for the residents. Again, Councillor, I have one copy of this that I'm happy to distribute at this
time. Yeah, thanks. So this area here is the patio outside. Is that what it is?
Sort of triangular shaped?
Yeah, sure.
This is the patio on this particular configuration.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay, the patio is here. Okay, sorry, I'm looking the direction.
This is the main area of the restaurant.
Okay.
The patio
is there. Okay, and this is what was presented to the residents on at your open house?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And okay. And did you, so you had a number of site layouts at your open house?
No, I'm sorry. When I say sheets, we had a number of boards so that we tried to assist by putting it in context, a little bit of the history. We included a board of the area, Transcona structure plan, so that people could appreciate that. We had a board on the zoning to help explain the previous application in terms of what the zoning change was about. And we presented as well this site plan, the detail on the fencing and the restaurant photographs as well.
You have a fair bit of parking. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you need? Is that
something that I believe we need?
Is that right?
I don't know if it states it there, but I believe that site plan gives us approximately 185 to 190 spots.
Okay.
The Portage and Morey location, we have 211 spots, and the McGillery location, we have 189 spots.
What's the seating in your restaurant, or what's in this restaurant?
The restaurant that you have in front of you has 208 dining seats, 100 bar seats, and the patio is smaller than the McGillery location, so it would come in around 60 to 70 seats.
Okay. All right. And what was the response at your open house?
We had a mixed response. We did have a comment sheet at the end of the day. Misty could speak to that if you'd like to know more specifically, but the responses range from we'd rather see no development on the site to we're thrilled to see that it's a keg restaurant coming on the site.
Okay.
So it was a mix, Councillor DeRate, adults out for the evening.
Okay. And you delivered, it went to all the homes on Elmy?
All the homes on Elmy, as well as the homes that flank onto Revelston, total of 58.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions. Okay. Thank you. We'll hear from the other delegations, and we might have more questions after that. So thank you.
Very good.
Thank you. Thanks. Jeff and Verena Oakham. Welcome back. Hello.
Hi. Jeff Oaken, 324 Elmy Avenue. I guess after almost 25 years of coming here, you know, we're running thin here, you know?
Yeah.
Running thin, I think some of the neighbors are just fed up, and it's just whatever happens, happens. So, because, you know, we're kind of, it goes down the ladder, a lot of neighbors have changed, whatever. But I guess one of the main concerns, like we always deal with every year, it's always the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know yourself, Councillor Wyatt, the 1 foot by 1 foot potholes on Elmy that you've just got a call on recently from one of the neighbors, they had to phone you to get it addressed at. Well, now we're talking about 200 or 300 people, customers coming out of this restaurant, where are they going to be going?
Mm-hmm.
And at hours of operation, they never did mention the hours of operation, but when I was at the open house, I think they mentioned between 1 and 2 a.m. So am I going to be having supper at 12 o'clock midnight, or am I having drinks or cocktails till 1 or 2 in the morning? And where are these people going to be going? They're going to be going the back way down Elmy again, because when they addressed it at the meeting there, they says, well, people usually take the highway. You know, I don't care if you're in a suit or tie or not in a suit and tie. If you've been drinking, you're taking the back way home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was one of the main things. The traffic is going to be coming down Elmy.
Mm-hmm.
The road can't handle the traffic, you know. The noise from the restaurant, I don't know how much noise you'll get, but with an outdoor cocktail lounge, now he's talking about the other stores, McGillivray and the other one. I have never been to them, so I don't know if they have outdoor cocktail lounges. That's something to consider. I got no problems with the restaurant, with, do you want to call, like what his counselor says, a drinking establishment, but if it's indoors, then it's maybe a little bit better, but now you've got an outside patio. They mentioned it's going to be on the south west side, but is it going to be like that, or is it going to be changed? Like you say, they're having 200 or 300 customers. Where are they going to be going? The patio, the impact already now on the mailboxes. We already have enough vandals in the area, and plus all the people from the taxation center are parking on this proposed closed road of Ravelston. Because now they want to make a, I guess they're closing it and they're making a roundabout at the end,
mm-hmm.
according to the site plan. So now are those people going to be parking on Ravelston, or are they going to be parking now on Elmy for the taxation center? Or is the keg restaurant going to rent out spots like Kildonan Place does for the people for the taxation center? You understand what I'm getting at? No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the kitchen, it doesn't say on the site plan where the kitchen's going to be vented, because one of my neighbors, she's here, and depends which way that wind could be blowing. It could be blowing in her kitchen. So she'll have their kitchen smells in her kitchen. And another thing that maybe council can decide on, because there is no alcohol-related premises on that proposed property, if council does pass this to make a zoning change to have an alcohol established drinking establishment, maybe it should be a conditional use. Because let's say the keg restaurant in 5 years goes broke, not saying they would, but then the next person that comes in say, hey, look, we can have a drinking establishment, we can put up a bar. So that's another thing to consider, because once you pass it now, it's going to always be there. And I think that's about it for now that I can think of. But I think if anything else, I'll let you know. Thank you.
Okay. I made a note of all your points here, Jeff.
Okay. So.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. And I think they'll make a note, too, and respond to them. So I hope. Mike Malik. Mike Malik, register in opposition. I guess he left. I'm assuming he's not here. Anybody else registered in opposition? Anyone else registered in opposition? Seeing none, I have, for information, Catherine Whitfield. Ms. Whitfield, do you wish to speak? Oh. Okay, sure, come on forward. And if you can state your name and address again, welcome.
Hi. It's Catherine Whitfield. My address is 1650 Ravelston Avenue West. And my house is, or will be, directly across from this new development. I am the one and only house on that dead-end strip of Ravelston. I'm not opposed to the restaurant. I realize that development is inevitable. My biggest concern is the noise that's associated or with the patio. Right now, I can hear the intercom system over at Rona. We hear the noise from the midways in the parking lot. We can hear the beeping of the lights at Ravelston and Almy. Well, I don't know if it's when the walk sign changes. So I'm not 100% sure that the traffic noise on La Jemaudière is going to help drown out the ambient noise, which I understand will be piped into the patio, since all that is closer to me than Rona and the Midway. And I'm wondering if that 11-foot wall is going to run right from Ravelston and Almy all the way around to that very southwest corner where this proposed patio will be at the present time, assuming they don't move it.
Okay. Were you at the open house? Sorry for interrupting.
I was unable to attend, but I did talk to Misty, and she had mentioned that there were two proposed options, the south or the west or north.
Okay.
But regardless of where it's situated, the fact that it is on the east side of La Jemaudière, I don't think the traffic noise from the highway is going to drown out the ambient noise. And my understanding is that even during the week, this patio could potentially be open till midnight, 1 or 2. And I mean, I don't want that noise during the week coming over to where I am, or having to put up with it. I mean, I already have to listen to the beeping from the lights at the at the walk. So
okay.
It's the noise from the patio that concerns me the most.
Okay. The map that I have in front of me here, the site plan that they gave us, I'll ask the question of them, but it seems to show that the wall extension goes right up to past the bend, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you're about right here, I think, eh?
Wherever Storageville is, my property runs along that side. So
okay.
Also I have experience with the berm and the fence concept, and it's sort of a nice thought, but I'm not sure how much it muffles the noise.
Right.
So that's sort of the other issue as well. But
okay.
Something that muffles the noise is
is trees. I don't know whether it's possible to have trees on the other side of the berm or something like that.
Well, that's a question we can ask of the applicant, too. So, yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you very much for your presentation, Ms. Whitfield. Thank you. Anybody else for information? Seeing none, if I can have the applicants come back. You've heard some of the issues, if you might be able to address them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There were a number of specific questions or issues raised, and then some other broader general questions. With respect to the fence, for example, the intent would be to take the fence right to the south limit of the property. The sketch that you're looking at does not accurately show that, but there would be a gap right at the southern end to allow for pedestrian access. As you may recall, part of the conditions on the previous approval is that there be public pedestrian access across the southernmost limit of the site.
Right. Is that going to be grassed, or what is that going to be there?
I don't think the site plan's finished development yet.
Okay.
What you're looking at is very preliminary.
Okay.
But the landscaping work that's been done on the other sites is all of the highest quality. It's not going to be second class, and it will be handled very well. I can assure you that without specifically identifying what it will be. This will be subject to site plan approval. We will have to come back before this committee to illustrate what the landscaping and the details will look like at that time. Gord may want to speak more specifically to the issue of the noise from the patio. Historically or traditionally, these patios are actually quite quiet. There is music that is provided in the patios, but the music is at a very low level. The intent is not to have a high level of music, which causes people to have to speak loudly. If you've attended any of the restaurants and have chosen an outdoor seating arrangement on the patios, they tend to be very quiet, typically. And I don't think that patio noise would be an issue in this particular case, particularly if it's located somewhat similar to what we've shown in the sketch that's in front of you. Just going back to some of Jeff's comments as well, I think one of the things people do have to appreciate is that the site is zoned for a restaurant now as well. What the application before us today is the question of allowing the sale of alcohol in the premises with the licensed dining room and lounge area. And so some of the other issues with respect to the eventual development of the site are in fact common issues across the board and are not specific to this particular application. I think the two concerns that I've heard most about are noise issues and secondly traffic issues. This is a community in transition, particularly with respect to traffic. There is a plan to eventually reduce the traffic on Elmy Avenue. A lot of those improvements will be paid for development, and so it's a bit of a chicken and an egg question. The improvements will come as development comes because the money to pay for the improvements comes from development. Not specifically in this case directly, but ultimately with the development of the site. When Reinders gets extended to Peguas, as you're aware, the intent is to close Elmy off across the site, and in fact there'd be no opportunity at that point for any of the customers, either from this site or the Steinbeck Credit Union, to use Elm Street to and from the site. That may be small comfort for people at the beginning of the process, but it is part of a plan to eventually address this. I do believe that the traffic patterns in terms of the draw of this restaurant are fairly broad, and that a significant number and majority of the people will in fact be using Lashmoji and not Elmy. That's an opinion that we're presenting that may be a little different than the residents' concerns about that. But if you do look at where the restaurant would be drawing from, it will be drawing from a whole quadrant of the city. And I don't think a lot of people would necessarily be driving east out of the site if they're living in North Kildonan or other locations that would be using the site. Gord, did you have anything that you wanted to add with respect to some of the comments on the noise of operations or the alternative, the quietness of the operations?
Well, I agree with Paul's comments about the noise level on the patio. The intent of having music on the patio, and certainly we need to have music on the patio because it's part of the atmosphere. We think it's counterproductive to atmosphere to have the music playing at a level where people cannot easily carry on a conversation. And so as part of our way of trying to create a good experience, we we attempt to keep the music at a quieter level. Hours of operation, we do operate into the evening. We close the restaurant, we close the cocktail lounges at 1 in the morning. During the week, Sunday through Thursday, we close at midnight in the cocktail lounge. The patio is an extension of the cocktail lounge under the MLCC's guidelines, so the patio is allowed to be open to that late as well.
Repeat that again. So your patio is open what hours?
The patio can be open as late as your cocktail lounge is.
Okay.
According to MLCC.
But you close it at 12?
We close it at 12 from Sunday through Thursday. It's okay. Open until 1 Friday and Saturdays.
Okay.
Those are the main issues. As we heard, the other really is to do with the location of the building and site plan approval. And I guess, Mr. Chairman, what we would suggest is that we've made certain statements here tonight. It would be up to this group to hold our feet to the fire when we come back with the actual site plan in terms of how we've sited it to sit best on the site and provide the least amount of impact as a result of that siting.
Just quickly, can I ask, is the outdoor patio going to be more than 100 square feet usually?
Yes.
That'll be subject to conditional approval with a site posted and going to the Board of Adjustment. Outdoor patios that are more than 100 square feet in the C2 district require another public hearing.
You're aware of that?
I wasn't aware of that, but we are aware that
we
did
the new zoning.
Yeah, and it's permitted up to 100 square feet. Outdoor patios have always been conditional uses.
10 feet by 10 feet.
Yeah, so now it's always been conditional.
Isn't that on a sidewalk?
No. It's always been, I've done, because I did the keg one down on McGilvery. I did that one. I did the one on Portage Avenue. I've done a few of your applications.
We wouldn't have applied for that at this point. We also have to come back for a variance on the restaurant size under the C2. And so this is a stepped process.
And you also need to go to public hearings for the MLCC to get your licenses. Mm-hmm. So usually that's what happens at the time they apply for their liquor license is when they go for their conditional use to go to the Board of Adjustment.
Our intent here would be to bring this forward to Community Committee, lay out on the table as transparent an application to identify everything that we intend, and then as the site plan gets developed and we apply for the specifics, we expect that there will be the variances that will be required as we come back in terms of the size of the building, any of the other variances that are triggered as a result of the siting, if there are any.
Is that the process, Mr. Winter?
Yes.
All right. Anything else, gentlemen?
No, I think, Mr. Chairman, that pretty well sums it up.
Okay, so I guess one of the issues that I heard, I just have some questions on this. The issue with regards to the noise, you're saying to me that the patio shuts down 1 o'clock, or the cocktail lounge, so that's the patio as well as the inside, is that?
My understanding from MLCC regulations is that the patio is an extension of the cocktail lounge.
I see. Okay.
And therefore their hours are the same.
Yeah, the MLC considers a patio as a cocktail lounge. We're the only ones who define, we call everything a drinking establishment, except for outdoor patios, we make a definition of it, and it's a conditional use, it's more than 100 square feet. So the MLC just considers it part of a cocktail lounge or part of the licensed dining room.
So would you have any restriction or objection if we were to place a restriction with regards to the patio operation as part of the subject to the approval here being your hours, any which are 12, which are midnight Sunday to Thursday and 1 a.m. Friday and Saturday?
In other words, if you were going to say...
But I'm talking on the variance now, because we're adding the ability for you to have a cocktail on.
Okay.
Right? So...
But if you're asking me if it would be difficult to operate in the summer and close the patio ahead of the cocktail lounge?
No, I'm saying your same hours, 12 midnight, Sunday to Thursday,
uh-huh.
And 1 on Friday and Saturday.
That would be fine.
Okay. I don't think the planner had anything in his report to restrict the hour, did you, Mr. Planner?
No. The only restriction is, I think, hours has to do with deliveries. They can only take deliveries between 6 a.m. and I think 9 p.m.
Okay.
And they're only allowed one 24-hour operation. That's the zoning.
All right.
Are we going to have an opportunity to look at the site plan and finalize the landscaping at some future date?
Yes, that's part of the zoning agreement, the current zoning agreement, the proposed one. Everything's always site plan approval for this community committee. You don't ever have to attach it.
The thing that I heard with regard to the delegation, which you never mentioned anything about, is that it seems to me that the berm plus the fence is going to absorb some of the sounds, so some of the things that she's now hearing, she's not going to hear anymore. The speakers on Revy and the dinging when they go across the street because of the, but also you never said, I know it's lovely landscape from the front, but from the back, the trees are very good at absorbing sound. Even in the dead of winter, they're good at absorbing sound, and you never mentioned where you might have trees for additional absorption. So that's certainly something I'll be looking for when the site plan comes back, is where the trees are going to be. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, I think the intent would be to develop the site plan details in a lot more detail before we came back. And with those concerns raised, I think that's one of the issues that we take back to the landscape architects. I think the residents will find that the construction of the berm and the fence, and that's a heavy fence. It's not a light fence with a lot of openings.
And it's wood, so it's absorbent. It's not like it's made of a plastic or something that's not an absorbent material.
It will provide quite a bit of sound attenuation, not only from whatever noise that may be generated from this site, but in particular from the traffic noise that's generating off of Lajmodie itself that's currently coming across an open area to these homes. So I think you'll find that there's a significant improvement from where things are today with the restaurant as a result of this.
You're aware then that the road will be closed, Elmy will be closed at Ravelstone upon the completion of when in the future, which may not be far in the future, the extension of Reindeers to Peguis will then automatically close this. You're aware of that?
My understanding is that Elmy will highly likely be closed at the west edge of Ravelstone.
Yeah.
And that's okay with me as long as the traffic lights stay operable.
Well, that's in the secondary plan, the area structure plan, which is going to council this month. Mm-hmm. The recommendation is there. It's gone through the standing committee. It's going to get approval by council on next week, actually.
Okay.
So you're fine with that?
Yes.
Being there, which closes it at the back. Basically, closing it back here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are we including as a requirement the developer to the applicant to do the work on Ravelstone?
To do the work in terms of closing that off?
Yeah.
I think that was part of the road closing bylaw and attachment was that they actually have to submit plans to show how that's going to be done.
Yes.
At terminus. And
there
I think.
There is a servicing agreement, sorry.
There is a servicing agreement. I don't know if it was part of the short form subdivision or part of the road closing.
It was an amendment to the existing servicing agreement as a result of the road closing that we will be, we provided the property and then we will be physically constructing the turnaround at that time and putting the land drainage in.
And you'll be doing the land, so what's the quality of the road, what is the administration recommending or telling you what you have to do there?
Quality of the road was to match the existing quality of the road.
So it'd be a gravel road?
If that's what this is, I believe the gravel, that portion of Ravelstone is gravel.
Yeah,
how do you
gravel.
Build a gravel around to turn around? I've never seen one before.
I'm a planner, not an engineer.
Okay, all right.
I have seen them, and
I've seen it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. I guess I was hoping to see something a little bit more tonight. I was hoping to see, a lot more with regards to the landscaping and the site itself. I know you have the building on the site, which is great, but there's not a lot of detail with regards to the site plan.
I'd like to respond to that.
Okay.
There are several maybe a dozen conditions which have to be removed before I'm prepared to purchase the land off of Paul's client. And it got to a point where we found out fairly quickly we needed to come up with a site plan. And until we've determined some engineering situations, such as how far hydrants are away from the building and whether the land, which seems to be quite low, can be effectively serviced by the land drainage and how the building situates to sanitary sewer and items like that, we were unprepared. I was unprepared to go further in developing a site plan which would show a lot of landscaping. Because if you need to move the building, and I say this with a little bit of experience, we developed a site plan and we received conditional use order on McGilvery, and then we moved the building 50 feet in our plans because it worked better for parking and land use. And we were asked at the final hour before we got a foundation permit to move the building back where it was. And it was costly in terms of land use. So I said, no, I just like to do a preliminary site plan because there's a few things that we have to find out before we go any further on this.
So you're telling me, you're basically saying that if you know the building is going to be here, obviously you've put the building on this site plan, you know, based on its location now, some of the costs, I'm assuming.
Yes.
You're concerned.
Well, actually, I'm sorry, I don't yet. They're coming. I've engaged an engineer in the last couple of weeks, and he's going to be working on it.
So you're not aware of all the servicing costs at this point?
That's correct.
What you're saying? Okay.
I have a good idea because I've built a couple of restaurants before.
Okay. So based on that, you're saying we might be going through this for naught, is what?
Well,
is that what I'm hearing? I guess you're unsure.
It's actually fairly fundamental. If we couldn't put a cocktail lounge on this development,
yeah.
It would be dead in the water. The Keg, as a concept, has had a cocktail lounge forever. So as one of the preliminary things we're trying to satisfy is whether or not we can have a cocktail lounge. There's a bunch of things that have to be satisfied beyond that. The package of land, which we're looking at assembly, or which the vendor is looking at assembly, has not even been presented or registered in title yet. So I really don't know exactly what I'm buying yet. In other words, as I understand it, Paul, until we were able to get the other half of Ravelston changed to C2 tonight from C3, I wasn't going to have enough parking. So there's a few things that are coming together at the same time. And when I did a preliminary site plan, I did it with some thought, as much as I could at the time. And as I said, I had 7 versions done by the landscape architect to find out where it would best situate from a parking standpoint and from an aesthetic standpoint, because it's important that the building look good. Mm-hmm. And I said in my opening remarks, this is my favorite site plan, and I believe it will work. But we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle together yet, so we simply didn't ask the landscape architect to plot the landscaping yet.
So this site, the location could change depending on what your servicing comes back.
It could. I hope like heck it doesn't.
We're not approving the site plan tonight, are we?
No. The location of the building is a big part of it, so. In relation to the patio. All right. Well, I guess what I'd be prepared to do, gentlemen, is I'd be prepared to move the matter. I'd be prepared to move that the delegations be closed, unless you really want to speak to it next time, or you're dying to speak to it. But I mean, my view would be almost. I'd like to see a more detailed plan. I think we can go forward with what you're proposing here. But before we approve anything, I'd like to see a plan that's a little bit more detailed, because this is a major investment in the area. You got residential across the street. I'd just like to see exactly what that looks like. Do you follow me?
I do, but I'm a bit confused because I thought that's what the site plan approval process was more about, is that this was a staged process by giving us this.
Can you give me your...
That's what we're asking tonight. It allows us to move forward with the next steps in the process.
I guess what I want you to know is the expectation of this committee. If I don't want a site plan to come back, let's say you come in and your costs are all have gone through the roof on the servicing side. Well, we got a budget. Well, we're gonna meet the budget by, we'll have, you know, less landscaping here and less landscaping there, and we're gonna move the building and this sort of thing. I guess my concern, you know, is I don't want to give you any false hope, and I also want you to have an idea of where I'm coming from on this. That, you know, if I see a site plan, this is where the building's roughly going, that's where the building's going to be going, and I'd like to ensure that we have acceptable landscaping on the site. And I realize that, you know, you have issues with regards to your servicing, but, gentlemen, those are your issues, right? We have our issues here we got to sort out. So do you hear where I'm coming from, Paul?
I do. I'm just trying to resolve in my mind if there's something we can do this evening that allow us to move forward.
How soon will you be coming back with your site plan? How soon, if a decision is made at this committee tonight, how soon would a site plan be coming back?
Wow.
Knowing that our next meeting is September.
September 15th.
That should be easy.
Okay.
Assuming people aren't on holidays, but I work with an organization that has a pretty big office, so I think it can be done.
Okay. All right. Good. You kind of know where I'm coming from. Do you have appreciate where I'm positioned?
There's a concern that what we've presented might change dramatically when we come back with the final site plan. That's clearly not the intent, but I guess from your perspective, you're saying, what assurances do we have? I guess the assurance is that if you're not happy with what we present at the site plan approval process, then that becomes problematic for us at that point.
It becomes problematic for everybody.
Yes.
So, you know, I guess, you know, nobody likes surprises, right? So I just don't want to have any surprises, that's all, at that point.
I can't ask you, I suppose, to commit without making the vote, but I guess one of the questions is, if we take this the next step, we go through these processes and do all of this, we'd like to have at least some indication that what we've proposed tonight in principle is acceptable to community committee.
If you're prepared to come back by September 15 with a site plan for approval, we can probably move forward on this tonight.
Sure. Fine with that.
Yeah, okay. I see the garbage has been enclosed, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Makes
good to see.
Great sense to do it.
Okay, that's great. And so your site plan will be available on the 15th. All right. I don't have any other questions. Do you guys have any questions?
No.
No? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay. Councillor Bawadi, if you want to take the chair. I'm going to move that the report with respect to this matter from the public service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'm going to move that receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'm going to move that the recommendation from the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred with the following amendments, that the patio be limited to the hours of closing hours, maximum of Sunday to Thursday at midnight and Friday and Saturday at 1 a.m. This is being moved forward on the basis that a full site plan will be coming forward to the community committee for community approval as of September the 15th. I want it noted that the applicant here, I want to note it for the record, that the applicant has agreed with the proposal that in the future, Albee Avenue would be closed at Ravelstone. And is recognized that that is not an issue. I just want to ask the planner for a technical question. The zoning agreement amendment, in the event that this property should change hands.
Yes.
And that issue came up in a delegation. Is there any sort of requirement that we can state the cabaret cocktail lounge the deletion of those restrictions. They follow this property, not the property, but this use.
Runs with the title? Yeah, well, you could always, instead of deleting it, say that the following two uses are conditional on the land, meaning they would have to come back for a conditional use.
Would they have to come to for a conditional use? I heard you say
just
that.
For the outdoor patio is a conditional use, but a cocktail lounge isn't. At one time it was, it's not anymore.
Okay, so
the cabaret. I don't know if anybody's ever building a cabaret anymore. In
so if they were file, if they have to file for a conditional use on the
outdoor patio, if whether they're selling ice cream or liquor, it would be a conditional use.
Right. So,
but if okay. It's a cocktail lounge, it's not a conditional use in the zoning bylaw.
Okay.
You can make it into the zoning agreement saying that the following use shall be conditional: cocktail lounge or drinking establishment or whatever is permitted now.
Okay. But I guess my question is more of a technical question. If we did that, they're filing now for a conditional use anyway. Right?
They'll have to come back for a conditional use for that outdoor patio if it's more than 100 square feet.
Okay.
Whether they're selling ice cream or coffee or liquor.
Okay. Which is more than 10 by 10, so it's definitely that size.
Yeah, the keg usually has a fairly large, but whether it's Mountain Bean up on Henderson Highway needed a conditional use.
Would they not be able to go forward, if they're going as a conditional use already, would they be able to tie the two and go forward to the public hearing?
Yes. Together? If you're going to have a cocktail lounge, you can say cocktail lounge and outdoor patio are conditional uses. It would go to the same public hearing. They have to go to the public hearing for the patio. Right now, at one time under the old zoning bylaw, cocktail lounges were conditional use. That's not the case anymore. So, yes, you can say under the zoning agreement that cocktail lounges are going to be, you know, conditional uses.
Okay. All right. I'd like to move, if the applicant is having to go forward already with regards to the Board of Adjustment, which does not break in August, right?
Yeah, they're not proroguing.
Okay. I move that the cabaret and cocktail lounge also be subject to their conditional use application under the zoning agreement.
All those in favor? Are you
no.
Sorry?
No. Yeah, I think that's a little bit. Was there anything else, John, that you had? Site plan approval we've already touched on. Is there anything else? Particular grounds. And I'd like to see exactly what the site plan coming back, also the Ravelstone work.
That's all part of the existing. I'm carrying over the existing zoning agreement. That's all has to be approved. And I do believe the fencing and berm, when they did the Steinbach Credit Union, required a B variance, which might be the case again.
Although I can't speak out of order, yeah. I believe that variance went for the full length.
For the full length? Okay. But yeah, they had to. You had to review the because you wanted the brick pillars and the fencing, and you made them build the whole thing all the way down before. So. That has to come back to you.
As part of the site plan.
Site plan, yeah. You proved the fencing before on the Steinbach Credit Union, so it would have to come here again.
Okay.
It's just almost the exact same zoning agreement.
But that's what we're considering on September 15th.
Right? Whenever they want to apply for a building permit.
No, well, I said September 15th.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They have to have it all in on the 15th.
Okay. All right. I have no other motions or amendments. So I'll move that, Mr. Chair.
It's been heard. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that this hearing, which respect this application, be concluded.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.